broadcasting live from the West End Waltham in Boston, Massachusetts, for Vistage Executive Summit 2015. It's CEO exclusive. Now, here's your host, Soyini Koch.
Good morning, everyone. I'm delighted to be here in Boston at the Vistage Executive Summit. And with us as our first guest, we have the best practice chair of the area, Phil Fines. And Phil, I would love it if you would just tell us, for folks who are not familiar with Vistage, what is Vistage and what is this event that we're doing here, the Vistage Executive Summit?
Okay, Vistage is a organization, probably the leading organization of CEOs. We have 20,000 members in 16 countries. And it basically, its premise is peer group to peer group. So we form groups of 12 to 16 chief executive officers or executives and form a peer group and use those that peer group to process issues and to guide our members.
And so you have been a CEO yourself. And tell us from the perspective of a CEO in the middle market. So Vistage specializes in working with middle market CEOs, not too big, not too small, you know, Goldilocks, right? They're in the middle. Tell us a little bit about why you've chosen to become a chair after being for what most people imagine is the pinnacle of business, you know, as being a CEO. Why would you choose to then move into this chair role?
That's a simple one. I formed serial entrepreneurs. I formed four companies, sold three, still have one of them. One of them is a logistics company. It was a pioneer in supply chain and logistics. But there came a time, one, to move on, and two, in terms of higher purpose, the satisfaction of getting tuna fish on the shelf diminished, and I wanted to give back and to do something different. And chairing allows that. It's a very, very rewarding and satisfying type of endeavor. And so many of the chairs, the other thing that's happening, which is interesting, is it used to be that people cashed out or sold their companies in their 60s or 70s. The average age now of a entrepreneur selling is in the 50s, low 50s, which is amazing, which if you're 75 like me, that leaves you 25 years to fill. And this has been an ideal way of filling and growing and being able to help other entrepreneurs and leaders.
Hmm. So what is happening with the company that you still have?
The company I still have becomes a poster child. My third hire is my 49% partner. I spend 15 minutes a day on high-level finance and a couple of key customers. And then I'm free to do Vistage, and I have a thriving practice of executive coaching and organizational development with my wife, who's been a Fortune 500 executive coach for 30 years. So it frees me, and not only that, but most members want to know what they're going to do in the future, and there are two ways they can do it. They can cash out, or they can follow the model of delegating it out and getting somebody professionally to run their company and still be involved to the extent that they want to. So it serves as a very, very good beacon for members, because I've proven over the last 15 years that my company can thrive, but that I've developed that management team that allows me to do what I want to do and what I love.
Right. So you really walk your talk.
Yes.
So. Great. So tell us a little bit about the day.
The day is interesting. Vistage really started out to be a peer group of 12 to 14 people. And I'll speak for my members, and I think a lot, as they wanted a group that was totally agnostic in terms of industry, and that they could learn and had nothing to, no axe to grind. So it's a small group. On the other hand, there is a need to understand that there's a larger community of CEOs, et cetera. So while the primary Vistage mode is a group meeting or a one-to-one, started years ago, all cities. And then in the last 3 years, we've begun to have this Vistage Executive Summit. And it's designed to bring the entire community. So 5 years ago, we were less than 150 people, members. Now we're at 328.
This is in Boston.
In Boston, mm-hmm. the greater New England area. And so this is a chance for the members, particularly, and the chairs, to see the community grow. And the activities are, number one, we're able to get outstanding speakers for the larger group that we would never get for a small company. Number two, it has about four purposes. One, it brings the members together. We have networking groups. We have speakers. We've got leading economists that have about a 98% accuracy and who are forecasting a depression in 2030, which should be interesting to see the members' reaction of how you would prepare if, in fact, that were going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
It serves the members. It serves the chairs. We also bring guests, so we increase our membership by having the summit. And we also bring in prospective chairs. So an ex-CEO like myself or a CEO now has an opportunity to see the greater community, talk to chairs. And so we use it as a recruiting for chairs. We use it to increase our membership. And then it gives our members just another experience, a full experience of networking events, outstanding speakers, workshops, and just a chance to see the community. And what's neat is, and perhaps you can relate to this, is that at one point we could hold it probably in this conference room.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But over the 15 years, you know, we've grown to where we'll now have 300 people. And within another 5 years, we'll double. There'll be 600. And so the pioneers and the founders also get a feeling of what kind of growth and how well this program does work. For instance, we had a Dun & Bradstreet report or study done that shows that companies who joined Vistage over the past 5 years grew at three times the rate of the average U.S. company. So I think that's – so we are performance-based. On the other hand, what's interesting is now we're doing more social responsibility. We have, for the first time that I can remember in doing this 15 years, we have a grant going to be announced to NFTE, which is the Network for Teaching Entrepreneurs. And their mission is to take inner-city kids, keep them in school, and teach them entrepreneurship. And so this will be the first time that the Vistage, the New England community, is going to sponsor this. Two of our members, two of our chairs are already sponsoring it.
Wow.
And they do something very unusual, and that is we bring in these inner city young entrepreneurs, and they do one of two things. They either do a business case and have it vetted by the group, or now they process an issue just as though they were a member.
Wow.
So what we have now then is the performance, but we believe that if you have a greater purpose than yourself, those companies outperform even our good performing companies. So this is a brand new initiative. It's being introduced today. Been worked on. The beta's been for 3 months, and they will come then to the entire chair community next in December and launch this fully in the area.
So is NAFTE a national organization?
It's a national organization founded in New York City in 1987, but has a very strong support here in New England with two or three sponsors who are pushing it. And because we were looking for something that fit into our model, et cetera, and that we could expose people very early on and do something beyond just our own businesses. We've adopted them, or they've adopted us. Take your choice.
And so is your thought or is the vision for NAFTE that maybe every group would adopt a small young entrepreneur?
Yeah. I was stunned. One of my more cynical members in Manhattan, when we asked for speakers.
Which is the capital of cynicism.
Exactly. Most person on
the
earth.
The national capital of cynicism, and you have your most cynical member.
That's
member.
Right. You know, I said, you know, what I'd like to do is adopt a charity or some nonprofit. And this fits right in. When you see the young people and their energy, et cetera, the members, we process 5 issues a month for 15 years, but the energy that comes around these young people when they present either their issue and or their case is just phenomenal. So it lights up the room, and that's what this is all about, passion.
Now, do these young entrepreneurs have real business issues?
They have They have issues. Yeah, sometimes how they're going to do it, how they're going to get into college.
Okay.
What's so interesting about Vistage and about this day is people come here for performance and for business. Mm-hmm. And yet Vistage really is about a whole life. And so you will have people discussing a guy who's grown 200% say, I have a fear of failure. Does anyone else in the room feel the same as I do that this all could end tomorrow? And you will process that, the same thing with the young people. So that there are issues. How do I get funding? Am I being ridiculous? How do I balance this? Should I go on to college? There are a couple of icons who didn't go any further. So why should I, spend the money on college? It can be that semi-personal. It can be business. They really are, the wraps are off. People come first with a business, but inevitably the thing that bonds the group and strikes home the most is the issue of, is a personal issue of some sort.
And so in terms of the theme for today, leading with 2020 vision, what do you think that means for a medium-sized CEO in today's market? What does it mean to lead with 2020 vision?
I think leading with 2020 vision is having the ability to see beyond the immediate 1 year. And when I started, you could take a business model and use it for the rest of your life. The half-life of business models today is increasingly diminishing. Mm-hmm. And we used to think that it was only the high tech. But if someone told you that you could sell shoes over the internet.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And so what's happened is, so a lot of this is to get them to start to think. We also, most of our companies are looking to have best practices. And in my opinion, and it's a personal opinion only, best practices will get you to the average. Now, if you're way below a best practice, you should be trying for that. This is leading with 2020 vision to me is looking for the next practices. What are the next business practices you're going to do in the next 5 to 10 years that are going to take you? And what kind of business model do you need as a platform?
Great. And so as you think about what that means, what are the trends that you're seeing? Because that's the theme of the show, right? The theme of the show is trends in the market that CEOs need to know in order to be able to run their business. So having this huge purview, you have your own business that you're still running. You have a portfolio of Vistage members that you're leading, and then you're also best practice chair over New England. So given this broad perspective that you have, tell us a little bit about what are you seeing that you think is really important for a middle market CEO to know?
The first one is the millennials. The millennials definitely have come into the marketplace with a whole different... Now, one of the things that works perfectly is this whole idea of a greater purpose because they want a social responsibility. So that is a trend that's going to increase. And in New England, with its energy and with its universities, it's even more pronounced than, for, say, Manhattan. One of the more interesting trends is... We have a lot of family businesses.
Mm. When so, you say we, you mean in your Vistage practice or
Vistage in
general?
General.
Okay.
But in my practice also, we have a lot of family businesses. When you bring in a millennial who is a son or daughter, it's absolutely fascinating because what's happening is these are kids who want responsibility just like any millennium. But they have parents, myself and or the next generation, who did it from the ground up.
Mm.
It took me maybe 5 years to understand my business from a ground up or 10 years. A millennium or my sons or the sons and daughters feel that they can do it in 6 months. It certainly are only... So we have two trends. And then you have the thing that the rest of the organization may not be ready for son or daughter. Okay.
Let me ask you, so just to ask a couple specific questions. Your kids are millennials?
One is. Yes.
Okay. And so when you say that you have your son or your daughter who might come in and try to lead the business, is that any different than previous generations? Because I would imagine that having the, 25, 30-year-old son or daughter of the CEO come in and run the business would have always been an issue. How is it different with millennials versus historically?
There was a a willingness or a forced situation where you had to do it from the ground up in many cases. You could not come in and have a meaningful role until you worked in the mailroom or started at a lower level. Today, that's not enforceable if you want your child to come to work. Okay.
So and you're saying mom or dad would have, like in the 70s or 80s, would have said, you know, son, I know that I own this business, but you need to start in the mailroom or you need to go bring coffee or whatever. And now mom or dad says you need to start in the mailroom, and the millennial says, I don't think so.
The millennial says, I don't think so. And if that's the case, I don't want to work here.
Okay.
Okay. Or I'm not going to, or there's a conflict. And they want more responsibility. And yes, it's some of the same problems, but that accelerated thing that the millennial, and they need more feedback. It used to be, you know, that many of us had a theory like the diamond theory. If we put enough pressure on you, you turn into a diamond. A piece of coal would turn into a diamond. That's not applicable. But so what I see with second generation or third generation is an acceleration of what we've all heard and read about the millennium. The other thing is there's a lot of hope in that that generation has a work ethic. It's just a different work ethic. So again, the paradigm has changed. They're not willing to do cold calls because they can use LinkedIn. Okay. but I built my business or my sales force on cold calls. And some people, some parents and some executives are willing to yield. Others feel that they have a formula, and you know, this is that business model. So it's accelerated with children, and then the emotional fallout. It's a lot different if one of your millennials goes home with somebody and vents. When the millennial starts venting when you're in the car driving home back to your house or at a family dinner, it makes it a different thing. But I think that's always been the case.
And so why don't the CEOs just like not find somebody else? Find somebody else who's willing to do the work.
There's the best advice that I've ever seen is have you go 5 years somewhere else. I remember my daughter, none of my children are in it, but my daughter came one summer and said, I'm working for you. And I told her, I expect more out of you than anyone else. She said, that's not fair. And I said, it's not designed to be fair. That's what it is. She went out and got another job and worked for both of us.
And it worked for both of you. What worked for both her and for you?
Yes. Okay. Yes. But the ideal would be to get 5 years out somewhere else, get the discipline, get some experience, see a different pattern. But there's others who either can't get the job, won't, or don't want to wait. And so you have that situation. And then you want the legacy. Most CEOs have an ego.
Really? I didn't notice. Yeah. I didn't notice that.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. You know, and they have a desire, and they, you know, they go in thinking that they tell themselves that they're not going to treat their child differently, and then proceed within 12 seconds to do that.
Great.
Another thing I think that's coming to the fore more and more, and I think Vistage is executive coaching now, has become very, very mainstream. We do 2-hour one-to-ones, which are executive coaching of a sort. But I think that the trend in business today is that people need something to aid them. Just as there's sports coaching and physical fitness coaching, executive coaching has become a very mainstream part of life and helping people. The two things I see in Vistage members, by the way, are the following. One, the members that come to us have a legacy problem. They have gotten to a level that they never dreamt possible, 10 million, 15 million. But they have two or three people, or one, who has gotten them to that level, but they know deep in their heart can't take them to the next level. So here's the tug of war. This is a person who stayed by me, male or female, through my formative years, but I know deep down can't take me to the next level. What do I do? And that's a very, very prominent issue, and it's becoming even more prominent. Second, it's the same with professional services. I had a lawyer and I had an accounting firm, but now I'm selling international. Okay. When I was $5 million, they were very successful. But these have been my advisors. How do I break? So the legacy issue is becoming much more prevalent as far as I'm concerned. And the last one is that most of our CEOs, I'll talk about the CEOs, come in and in my opinion, are either CMOs, chief sales officers, CFOs, all of the above, but they're not doing the CEO work. CEO work is the type of thing that you do driving, maybe in the shower, part-time. It's not work. And what Vistage has done a very good job, and we're seeing more and more, are people who really want to do that strategic planning, the strategic thing, looking at the business models, doing the outside work, and that's a transformation. But most of our members, I'd say 85 to 90%, come in not doing CEO work at all.
I'm a strategist, so what you said is just music to my ears. Tell me a little bit about why you find, so in any Vistage room that, you know, I go and I speak in, you'll find that 50 to 60% don't have a strategic plan, a current strategic plan. Why do you think that that mindset of I don't have to do strategic planning is so prevalent? And why do you think CEOs are so resistant often to doing it, even though they will hear perennially that that's the thing that's going to take them from the 10 to the 50 to the $100 million?
First of all, I go around to 150 groups so far, and I'll ask how many people, and I won't even define it, how many people in your group besides yourself, in your company, besides yourself, are strategic? And it, with rare exceptions, it's one, two, or three at the most. Now, there's some very technical and some, so right away, most CEOs are the strategy and the strategic planning. I know in my case, I had a strategic plan and a vision. I now know it would have been helpful if I was not the only one who knew it.
Okay. Right.
So I think that, and the other thing is, there's a big difference to me between strategy and a strategic plan. Mm. Strategic planning, as I think you know, or maybe you will agree, really is a staff function in large corporations. Mm-hmm. Okay. Being strategic is what I think is most important. And that's hard because I tell you, first of all, it requires something that's very hard to do. It's called thinking.
Mm. Right.
And, you know, we think we, you know, so to really think and to be able to think beyond, out of the box or in new ways or for the future is just not an easy thing for, and besides, it doesn't seem like work. That's not a task. You can't cross off that I did 2 hours of thinking, but that's, so I think that that's the reason. And second of all, I think that small business and medium business thinks that strategy and strategic planning is done at the Fortune 500. And there is an important, we admire, the first thing a small company will tell you is the Fortune 500 companies they do business with, but they don't think it's applicable. So there is a resistance in my thinking this is for big companies, when in fact it's even more essential for the smaller or medium-sized company.
So just in terms of closing thoughts and, you know, kind of setting the framework for the day, how do you think folks can use the Vistage Executive Summit or what they're listening to today? Because we're going to have the speakers come in and share a little bit of a snippet of their presentation on the air. How can they use what, you know, tactical takeaways from the day to be more strategic?
I think the first one, let's just take the one that I'm most familiar with, which are the Bolios and the economics. That's the context for the world. And if somebody's going to predict a depression in 2030, that gives you a context, not only for what you have to do today, but what you might be doing for tomorrow. And if that isn't, and if you're not strategic about that and that takes place, you won't have to worry. So I think that, number one, the fact that we're giving them macroeconomics, most small companies say, look, I've got this tiny little slice of the business. The outside world really doesn't matter. We saw, the most interesting thing to me is we saw in the recession something very interesting. It was very good for Vistage, by the way, because people who thought they were brilliant when they had a tailwind.
Got their face cracked.
Yeah.
And so, they're cracked, yeah.
And so for us, actually, that recession got a lot of people, because if you went from 20 million to 15, you still could afford Vistage, but you had said, maybe I need something else. So I think that this is a chance to give a vision, give us some new tools, and to give the context, a broader context, and beyond their immediate company. If they take, now as far as tactical, that's really up to them. I think most of our members are very tactical. Mm. I think the question is, can they think beyond today's tactics as to what tomorrow's tactics are, as I call next practices, is what they'll get out of this. I also think, though, that the other thing is that I don't think they will ever listen to an economist other than here. Okay, this is not the average business person may read the Wall Street Journal, but they're not going to sit through 2 hours of economic analysis other than in this type of venue and then enjoy it, because I've watched them succeed several times in the past.
Very good. Well, thank you so much for a great interview. And for our listeners, stay tuned. You're going to get to hear the more from our speakers and more on the day. Thank you so much, Phil.
Thank you very, very much.
This show is brought to you by Annona Enterprises, where strategy is your access to money and performance. Learn more at annonaenterprises.com.